come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business, health, and politics. Each of my guests will share his perspective on one of these topics. My next guest is an ophthalmologist pioneering vision care to improve near vision in people with excellent distance vision that find themselves needing reading glasses. We'll discuss Prevalens corneal inlays. Dr. Paul Dougherty is an internationally renowned eye surgeon who has helped pioneer many of today's popular vision correction techniques. He served as the medical director of the Los Angeles-based Dougherty Laser Vision and as an assistant clinical instructor of ophthalmology at UCLA's Jules Stein Eye Institute. Dr. Dougherty is among the first laser vision surgeons in the United States to perform LASIK on an investigational basis before the FDA even approved the procedure in 1995. Since then, he's performed nearly 25,000 laser procedures. Dr. Dougherty is also an authority on cataract surgery and other non-surgical techniques. Dr. Dougherty graduated Phi Beta Kappa and summa cum laude from the University of Pennsylvania, and then he attended UCLA Medical School, where he graduated first in his class. Joining us from Camarillo, hi, Dr. Dougherty. How are you today?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing great.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your pioneering nature in medicine, because you've pioneered various vision procedures throughout the years. Now, you were among the first to do LASIK laser vision, even before LASIK was FDA approved in 1995. Now you're embarking on another clinical study to improve near vision of, and I'll see if I get this pronounced correctly, emmetropic subjects with presbyopia. What is presbyopia? Right.
Well, presbyopia is the age-related loss of zooming power that happens to each one of us. It's related to birthdays, and essentially what happens is the lens in the eye becomes hard, so it doesn't shift. When we're younger, we can use a muscle in our eye called the ciliary muscle to shift the lens so that we can see from distance to near. So essentially what happens is, as you get older, typically in your mid-40s, you lose that ability to see from distance to near. So ultimately, everyone's going to need either reading glasses, or if you wear glasses or contact lenses for distance, you'll need bifocals.
All right, so who should be concerned about presbyopia?
Well, everyone. It happens to every human being eventually, typically in the 40s, and it is a major reason that people come in to see me. It's, in fact, it's one of the most common reasons that people visit an eye doctor because they need reading glasses. They can't see up close anymore.
So that's the situation where I'm in the restaurant with my wife and we're trying to read the menu, and all of a sudden I have to extend my arms to be able to see it?
Exactly, and ultimately your arms won't be long enough. You won't be able to zoom. You lose that ability to zoom, so you need reading glasses and or increasing the light to help with reading.
All right. Now, you're hoping to evaluate the safety and the effectiveness of Revision Optics Incorporated's Prevalens corneal inlays. So, first of all, what are corneal inlays, and tell us about this procedure.
Sure. It's the Prevalens, and actually it's approved in other parts of the world. We here in the United States only are a little bit behind the rest of the world. We have to run things through the FDA, which takes a lot of time. And we're now in phase three of the FDA study where we're looking at the safety and effectiveness of this procedure. And essentially what we do with the procedure is we use the laser that we use for LASIK to lift a flap in the cornea. The cornea is the clear window in the front of the eye. And then we put this hydrogel implant over the pupil, and then lay the cornea back down. And essentially what this does, it increases what's called depth of focus, so you can read without glasses. And the beauty of this technology is, unlike LASIK, which we can do what's called monovision LASIK, where we take the eye and make one of the eyes a reading eye, you lose distance in that eye with monovision LASIK. With this lens implant, you don't really lose very much, if any, distance vision. So it's pretty remarkable and pretty unique technology.
Well, it is, and it's interesting. So you're going to insert what's known as a hydrogel implant underneath the cornea. Now, most of us think about implants. We think, unfortunately, about breast implants and some of the problems that breast implants have had. Talk to us about what does the hydrogel implant actually consist of?
It's plastic that's very biocompatible. We don't see rejection of this material, and it's very, very safe. We have not seen any cases of infection, and it actually seems to be well tolerated by the body. Now, it's potentially reversible. If you don't like it, we can take it out. I've not seen a single case where someone's wanted us to take it out because they do get improved reading vision with the implant. And where all the problems came in with implants was with these liquid silicone implants that basically leaked from the bag they were put in. And, you know, breast surgery or breast implant surgery is still one of the most common surgeries done in the world. And actually, solid silicone breast implants are now commonly done because you don't seem to have those problems. What I tell patients is think of it like a filling, okay? It's there, but your body doesn't really know it's there. There's no upkeep required.
Now, that's a good explanation. My guest is Dr. Paul Dougherty. We're talking about a new procedure that he is pioneering. And I guess my next question, knowing a little bit about this procedure, you made a sort of a political comment there about the FDA and the process of getting things approved through the FDA, whereas in other parts of the world, Europe and elsewhere, they don't have to wait quite as long for these pioneering procedures to come through. I don't want to go down the road of politics with you because that's not your specialty, but talking about the FDA and talking about this, do you think that it's likely the FDA will approve this? I mean, you were a pioneer in LASIK. It was clear that they approved LASIK in 1995. Do you see this going down the same path of FDA approval?
Well, we sure hope so. I think the FDA is very careful and is out to protect the public, and they're doing their job by making sure that things are safe and effective, and that's the process that we go through with the FDA studies. And from that that perspective, we're hopeful that it will be approved. There are in other countries, for instance, in Europe, it seems like the process is much more streamlined. However, there have been products in Europe that have been approved that have ultimately not been approved by the FDA because they were found to be not as safe or effective as we might have thought. So the FDA has a very important job, and you know, I'm certainly not here to make political statements either, other than to say the FDA is very concerned about the work they do and does a great job at evaluating safety and effectiveness of technologies to help protect the public.
All right, great. Now, Paul, back to you. How and why did you decide to pioneer this procedure with the PresbyLens corneal inlays?
Well, I've been involved in a lot of different technologies over the years. Topography guided LASIK, the implantable contact lens that's replacing LASIK, the Tetraflex accommodating intraocular lens that can help bring reading vision back for cataract patients. And this, to me, seemed like a revolutionary, unique technology that was going to be able to help a huge percentage of the population. And before I get involved in any technology, I do a lot of research myself, both including talking to surgeons internationally that have used the technology, as well as looking at the research that's been done. And to me, this made a lot of sense from the standpoint that it gave reading vision back without taking away distance vision, and the implant seemed to be well tolerated, and the procedures just made sense to me.
Well, it does, and as we get older, the baby boom generation moves ahead in years. This is going to become an increasingly important procedure. My guest is Dr. Paul Dougherty. We're talking about PresbyLens corneal inlays, and PresbyLens corneal inlays are actually made by a company called Revision Optics Incorporated. Tell us a little bit about the company that actually makes these inlays.
Well, Revision Optics is a small ophthalmic technology company located in Orange County. That this is their primary technology. This is the only thing that the company does, is focused on this technology, getting it FDA approved. And I really think they've done a great job in terms of developing the technology. They originally came from the patents they used were from a company called Animed that they really morphed into. That was a different technology, a little bit larger corneal inlay. This inlay seems to be much more effective and actually much more stable.
Interesting. And I like the fact that it's a Southern California company. That says a lot in and of itself. So that's very cool.
What's exciting is there's a lot of the ophthalmic technology companies are located in Orange County, a lot of the research and development. Now, some of the companies are now starting to locate outside the U.S. just because of the time frame involved in some of the approval processes, but it's exciting for me because I'm able to closely work with a lot of these companies. In fact, as part of this FDA study, we often have a number of the people from the company that come up on the days that we did do surgery. For instance, yesterday we had 5 PresbyLens implants, and we had two doctors in the company come up and work with us in performing and evaluating the patients.
Well, that is a real benefit of having them being close by. Now, you say this is a study, so being a study, obviously you're looking for people to volunteer to do this. How does one volunteer for your study of PresbyLens inlays?
Well, first of all, let's talk about how you qualify.
Okay.
When we say use the word emmetropia, that basically means someone who has excellent distance vision in both eyes. They just can't read. Okay. That means they don't need glasses or contact lenses in order to see distance, but they simply can't read. They need to wear reading glasses. Those are patients that would qualify for the FDA study. You also can't have a history of previous eye surgery. For instance, if you've had LASIK, and there have been millions of patients out there that have had LASIK, unfortunately, this technology is not available. Hopefully, at some point, if we do get through the FDA approval process, we might be able to use this technology on patients who have previous LASIK. The other issue is patients can't have severe dry eye. So the way to get enrolled in the study or be evaluated is to call our office. Our number here in Camarillo is 805-987-5300. Or you can look us up and contact us online at www.dohertylaservision.com. And I spell my last name D-O-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y. And either one of those mechanisms, you can come in and be screened. And what's exciting about being part of the FDA study is that we're doing, if you qualify for the study, we don't charge you for the treatment. And typically, we charge anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 per eye for vision correction procedures. So essentially, you're getting the treatment at no charge. The other thing is it's critical to us that you follow up, if you do qualify for the study, that you come back for all the post-ops for up to 3 years. And the company actually pays the patient to come back. And I believe it's $750 patients are paid in order to come back for their post-ops. Because we want the data, and we want to give the data to the FDA so they're going to be properly evaluated by the FDA.
Well, you've certainly piqued the interest of a lot of people. Is there a limit to the number of volunteers that you're accepting for this study?
Well, there is. The FDA has allowed us to do 100 eyes as the first part of Phase 3, and there are now a total of 6 sites in the U.S., and it's competitive enrollment. So as soon as those 100 patients are identified and the surgeries are complete, the study closes, at least until the FDA hopefully allows us to embark on the next step.
So people listening to the sound of your voice, if you are interested, you probably want to jump on the phone Monday and see if you can get enrolled in this study. That is great. Now, Paul,
I want to change. Definitely time sensitive.
Definitely, and I'm glad that you pointed that out. I want to change gears, if I can, for just a minute and talk a little bit about your practice, because you are pioneering this. You're the only one in Ventura County that I'm aware of that does this. So tell us a little bit about your practice at Dougherty Laser Vision Center. How long have you been in business in the Camarillo location? How many patients do you serve a week, a month, a year, those kinds of things?
Sure. Well, I started this practice in the year 2000. I actually trained with the doctor that brought LASIK to the U.S., Dick Lindstrom in Minneapolis. And I was, I believe, the first ophthalmologist in the U.S. to have LASIK in my own eyes back in January 1997. So it was back when all my colleagues said that I was crazy and I would never see again and I would never be able to operate again. But I believed in the technology, and I've been a happy LASIK patient for almost 16 years. I opened this practice in Camarillo in 2000. We expanded to Santa Barbara in 2003, I believe. I ended up buying out a competitor who was also here in Ventura County who had an office in Los Angeles. So I'm now located in Hollywood as well.
Hmm. Now, Paul, one of the things that you state is the benefit of coming to you is that you own and you manage your own surgery centers. You're not affiliated with or under the control of a vision care conglomerate. Now,
correct.
Why is that important? Because it sounds to me like there might be some advantages to being affiliated with a vision care conglomerate.
Well, I like not having the answer to shareholders. Basically, my customers are the patient, not shareholders. And I actually used to work for a vision correction company back in the 1990s before I started my own practice. And there was a lot of pressure in terms of surgical volumes. And for me, patients always come first. The other issue is if there's an issue, either medically or financially, you can deal directly with the practice instead of having to deal with bureaucrats off-site.
That is important, yeah.
And the other thing that's important, too, is in terms of training, a lot of these larger companies end up hiring guys that don't really do vision correction full-time. They kind of come in part-time, their weekend course trained surgeons. I did a fellowship. I spent a year of my life learning how to do these procedures full-time rather than just taking a weekend course learning how to do vision correction.
That is comforting to know. My guest is Dr. Paul Dougherty. We're talking about the Presbylens corneal inlays. And outside of your practice here in Santa Barbara and in Ventura, you also do humanitarian work. You've got the World Vision Project. It's a foundation that you've set up. And you do humanitarian work in Haiti. Tell us a little bit about your foundation and the work that you're doing there.
Sure. The name of my foundation is World Vision Project, worldvisionproject.net, and we're a soon-to-be 501c3 charitable foundation. And through some personal circumstances in my life, I really got great clarity as to why I was put on this earth, which is to gift vision correction surgery to people that can't afford it. And it's one of the reasons that I work so hard in my own practice and have been growing my own practice is really to support my charitable foundation. And what we do is we do charitable work both here in the U.S. as well as abroad. We work with the homeless, gifting surgery, homeless veterans. We're in the process of setting up another event called Vision for Veterans. We fly guys out from the Warrior Transition Facility in Fort Hood, Texas. Guys have been severely injured in Iraq or Afghanistan and give them vision correction surgery. We also go around the world. My last trip was to Haiti, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, about a month and a half ago, which was a life-changing event in terms of the people that we help, people that just don't have access to care. We really are very proud of the work that we do helping people that can't afford vision correction and cataract surgery. The leading cause of treatable blindness in the world is cataracts.
Mm.
It's a huge problem in countries that don't have resources.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Now, you've just returned from Port-au-Prince in Haiti. It's been a couple of years since the devastating earthquake there. Are you seeing improvements? Have conditions picked up? Do things look better there than perhaps they did immediately following the earthquake?
Honestly, they really don't. It was one of the most horrible places I've ever been in terms of the infrastructure. It was unbelievable, the lack of care. I saw... We were able to gift 35 cataract surgeries to blind patients, and these weren't patients who were just visually impaired. They were blind and hadn't seen in years. And the saddest thing for me was, of the 35 patients I was able to do surgery on, there were probably 65 or 70 other patients that, from preventable causes, went blind with glaucoma, syphilis, retinopathy. And I had to sit there and tell patients, I can't help you. This could have been prevented by taking drops, but I can't help you. And there was no access to care. I actually saw there was a 76-year-old pediatrician who worked in a hospital in an outlying area who was blind from his cataracts, and he had no access to care. I mean, it's unbelievable, the level of poverty, the level of devastation, the level of anarchy in that country. And it's a mess. I mean, there's trash everywhere. There's potholes in the road. There's at the hospital we worked at, it was the only trauma hospital for a country of 10 million people. There were two armed guards at the front with sawed-off shotguns because of the line of people lining up to try and get care.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. We had patients waited up to 36 hours to see us. We didn't realize that some of these patients were waiting, and they would actually not even get up to use the bathroom because they didn't want to lose their place in line because they had no other access to care. Some of them hadn't eaten for 24 hours. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
We were just featured on ABC's Nightline last week that talked about some of these some of the conditions that we were working in.
Well, it's absolutely heart-wrenching. My guest is Dr. Paul Dougherty. We're talking about the Presbylens corneal inlay procedure that he's pioneering right here in Ventura County. Now, again, if people want to get in touch with you, Dr. Dougherty, how do they do that? How do they sign up to be a volunteer for this program or just to learn more about your services? Where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
It's our website. We have two web addresses. One is My Great Sight, MYGREATSIGHT.com, or Dougherty Laser Vision, DoughertyLaserVision, DoughertyLaserVision.com.
Paul, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, thank you so much.